Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to tonight's Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, and flying solo at the moment as Troy Otradovic has yet to join me here today. He should be joining momentarily. Not good news in the state of Wisconsin this weekend when it comes to football, as both the Badgers and the Packers fell in their game. The Badgers fell in overtime to number 2-ranked Ohio State after leading the majority of the game. And then the Packers fall to the Dallas Cowboys 30-16 at Lambeau Field on Sunday yesterday. And the 30-16, it was pretty much completely dominated from start to finish. So going to spend the show a little bit today talking about that Packer game, talking about the few positives that were there, and lots of negatives to talk about too. Going from Aaron Rodgers to coaching to whatever, we're gonna break it down. I'm gonna give my thoughts on what's going on, and your phone calls are welcome. 646-915-8254. And give me a call at 646-915-8283. Following this Packer 30-16 loss here happened to the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. But before I go any further, just want to let listeners know I am a fitness coach, and I want to offer you it's an opportunity to help you improve your health and your fitness and take charge of your life. You know, on January 1st of this year, my weight was creeping back up to about 330 pounds. And the last time I weighed myself, which was about 2 days ago, I am down to about 260. And I've done it by following different workout programs similar to what Eddie Lacy's done, P90X3 and 22-minute hardcore and Country Heat and Insanity Max 30, doing stuff like that. And then also eating right, following the 21-day fixed meal containers, and also drinking my daily Shakeology. You know, Shakeology is different than any other product out there in regards to supplementation. Shakeology fills the gaps that your diet lacks and from the nutrients from food. Then it helps you with cravings, with sweet tooth, with with digestion being regular, and it can help you lose weight too. So it's also all natural ingredients as well. You don't have to worry about any artificial flavors and sweeteners and chemicals in it either. You know, it is definitely worth its money, and I strongly advise giving it a try if you're looking for some supplements. So Coach Evan 66@gmail.com. That's Coach Evan 66@gmail.com. Shoot me an email and let me know if you're interested in learning more. So with that, the Green Bay Packers fell, as I mentioned, 30-16, and things didn't look very well. The Cowboys went down on the opening drive of the game, made it look easy, and the drive ended with a Dak Prescott to Beasley 1 yard touchdown pass. The drive was an 8-play, 75-yard drive that took just 4:57 off the clock, and it was like surgery. That is what the drive was like. Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, was like a surgeon with winning drives on their heels that entire drive, as he just marched right up down the field and scored the touchdown. You know, Packers did answer on a 9-play, 56-yard drive of their own, 4:52, but they had to settle for a 37-yard Mason Crosby field goal after having a 4th-and-1. They opted not to go for it, and they opted to kick the field goal instead. Dallas answers a field goal of their own. So the Packers answer with another field goal in the second quarter, 43-yard Mason Crosby field goal, 9-play, 45-yard drive, took 4:08 off the clock. The Packers had a 4th-and-1 once again and settled for the field goal rather than go for it on fourth down, which I questioned. I think the Packers on one of those occasions should have went for it. I think they should have. I think what do you have to lose? Just go for it. Get to move the chains again. And Dallas scored the next two times in the second quarter, a 44-yard field goal after a 12-play, 50-yard drive. It took over six minutes off the clock. And then the Packers were looking to get the ball back from the Cowboys right before the half to try to at least kick a field goal as they got the ball to open the half. But the Packers on third and one gave up a jet sweep and then two big pass plays. Dak Prescott found Butler on a 20-yard touchdown pass to finish the drive after a big 42-yard pass to Terrence Williams. And like that, the Cowboys go in the locker room up 17-6. The Packers get the ball to start the third quarter. Don't do anything with the opening drive, really. They ended up, I think, turning the ball over. Bailey, 22-yard field goal in the third quarter, only scoring. In the fourth quarter, Crosby nailed a 34-yard field goal on a four-play drive after a Packer interception. Dak Prescott's first interception of his NFL career, but it was all pretty much Cowboys from there. It was Beasley, a 4-yard touchdown pass from Prescott to pretty much put the nail in the coffin. The Packers got a touchdown from Randall Cobb late in the fourth quarter, a 6-yard touchdown pass, the first touchdown pass in the second half all year by Aaron Rodgers, and the Cowboys added on a field goal. Packers just a lot of ugliness in this game, and the Lambeau Field crowd booed the Packers off the field. And, you know, a lot of conversation about do the Packers have the right, the Packer fans have the right to boo? Should Packer fans be, you know, to boo? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. And, you know, it seems like every year the Packers have a game like this where they get booed like this. And there's always a lot of complaining and whining about, a fan spoiler. They're not real fans, things like that. Well, here's the thing. Here's my one comment on the whole real fan or not. I am going to be a fan how I want to be a fan, okay? You be a fan how you want to be a fan. Your fan, the way you are a fan and the way I'm a fan, it doesn't make either of us bigger fans than one another. That's just the way it is. So, you know, you cheer for the team how you want to cheer for them and be angry at the team how you want to be angry at them, and I will do the same, okay? So, now moving on offensively. What is the problem in Green Bay? What is the problem? And I think it's a magnitude of issues in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, surprisingly, had his best game completion percentage-wise all year and had his highest quarterback rating that he's had all year. I think his quarterback rating was 90. He completed over 70% of his passes, first time in a year that he completed over 70% of his passes in over a year, actually. So there is that. So that was a little promising. He was a little more accurate this week, but it wasn't enough. He was still off. His mechanics still not the best. He's throwing off his back foot a lot. He's not properly setting his feet, and he's pumping on the ball a lot instead of getting the ball out. It's like he's panicked sometimes. He's got plenty of time to throw, but he's not finding the open man. And, you know, I say it starts with him. The other people it starts on is the coach, the coaching staff, the people that call the play. The biggest success the Packers had yesterday on offense is when they started dinking and dunking to Ty Montgomery. Ty Montgomery ended the game with 10 catches for 98. Montgomery marching up and down, you know, down the field, and he had two fumbles, lost one, Montgomery did. And I think one of the drives ended on an Aaron Rodgers fumble inside like the 5-yard line. But they drove down the field with dink and dunks to Montgomery that drive, and it was working. You know, I was reading a couple articles today, PackerNews.com, and there's a couple really good articles. I think it was Peter Doltry, he had an article, and he was talking about, you know, it's like, you know, teams have figured out how to stop Green Bay. They figured it out. Defenses have figured it out. They're going to rush three or four. They're not overly concerned with getting pressure on Rodgers anymore. They could care less. They're going to rush three and four, keep him in the pocket, not allow him to improvise, and they're going to drop seven, eight guys back in the coverage. That's what the teams are doing right now. The Giants did it last week. Cowboys did it yesterday. That's what teams are doing right now to defeat Green Bay and struggling right now. McCarthy wants to rely more on the running game. Well, it's hard to do that when you have a running back with a bum ankle and you only don't have any other running back on your roster. They are bringing a running back up from the practice squad. So we'll see what happens there. But the Packers run a lot of isolation routes. They do. A lot of isolation routes. And it's not working. You've got to change it. You've got to do something. I don't know if it's Rodgers prefers that, if it's McCarthy that prefers that. I don't know. But something has to change. Do some rub routes. Do some crossing routes. Do some different things to get guys open. Do a bunch set. Do trips. Do four receivers on one side even. Just do things different to try to get separation off the line. You've got to do something different. What you're doing right now is not working. It's not. It's just not working. And you've got to change something. It wasn't working last year. And the conversation last year, well, there's no Jordy Nelson. You know, wait till Jordy Nelson gets back. But Jordy Nelson's back, and guess what? It's still not working. And Jordy Nelson's struggling. Jordy Nelson's struggling to catch the football. He's struggling to get open. And this is coming off probably, I think, what, 2 weeks ago. The Lions game is probably his best game back from his knee injury. And now he's back to struggling. He's not getting the separation either. And the thing is, you've got to work for the personnel that you have. The Packers don't have the personnel to do isolation routes. They don't have guys to get open like that. So you've got to make changes in the passing game. You've got to make changes in the play calling for the passing game. You just got to. And the receivers, if you're going to keep calling isolation routes, you've got to find a way to get open. And you also have to run the correct route. Jump back to the New York Giants game that pass to Jordy Nelson looked like he was double covered. I got a little more information on that pass. Jeff Janis ran, he ran the route wrong. He ran a crappy route. And he brought the safety back into the middle of the field where Janis was supposed to keep him out of the middle of the field, keep him outside the hashes. Well, Janis's piss poor route to the numbers, and that completely disrupted the play. That's why Rodgers double pumped on it. And back to Rodgers, there's a couple plays, and I forgot to mention, there are a couple plays where he completely overthrew Cobb, and one he underthrew him a little bit. There was should have been a touchdown to Randall Cobb. Cobb's wide open in the end zone, and Rodgers puts it a little bit too high. Last play check, Randall Cobb's not Yao Ming. Randall Cobb's only about 5'10", 5'11". He's not Yao Ming. You've got to help out your wide receivers. Wide receivers have to help out Rodgers, or Rodgers also has to help out the wide receivers. And in the fourth and five, they tried a deep pass to Randall Cobb, which Cobb had a step on the guy, but Rodgers didn't put enough air under it. He didn't put enough air under the ball, and the corner was able to knock it down. If you put just a little bit more air under the football, he hits Cobb over the top of the corner, and Cobb has a likely big gain, if not touchdown. I don't think he would have had a touchdown, but we never know. And now, jump to the pack. I can't really complain too much about the way the defense played. The defense gave it the best effort. Ezekiel Elliott, he's a damn good player. He is. He is a damn good running back. And the Cowboys have a great offensive line. No question about it. They have a great offensive line. But Ezekiel Elliott, I think you could put him in any team in the NFL and you would watch him. He has such quickness, such burst, a change of direction, such great feet, good vision. He's the real deal. And the Packers hadn't faced a running back like Ezekiel Elliott this year yet. They faced a lot of struggling backs and they faced a lot of underwhelming backs. Ezekiel Elliott was a first-round pick for a reason. And he made it hard for the Packer defenders. He didn't go down on first contact. He kept churning those legs and kept getting. He turned a lot of stuff into nothing. A lot of plays into stuff from nothing. And You got to tip your hat to Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott, I'm very impressed by Prescott. He reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson. Back when the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson, I think in the fourth round as well. Not a lot of people thought, or I did, but not a lot of people thought Russell Wilson would win the starting job over Matt Flynn, and he ended up winning the starting job. Dak Prescott got it by default because Tony Romo got hurt, and then Tony Romo's original backup got hurt before Tony Romo got hurt. But Dak Prescott, he looks very good. He is very impressive. He is, I can't even put it in the words. He's hard to rattle. He fumbles the ball, turns around, does better, throws the interception. He turns around and, it doesn't rattle him. He stays focused. He stays a competitor. And I got to tip my hat to Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. And the Cowboys' offensive line just dominated the game. Travis Frederick, former Badger offensive lineman, he was getting on the second level quite easily yesterday. And he sprung some nice runs by Elliott. I said on Thursday that Elliott would likely have over 100 yards. But don't panic about the Packer run defense if Elliott does, because Elliott's that good. And you're not going to go the whole year not giving up a 100-yard rusher. It just doesn't happen anymore. Hasn't happened in a while. Secondary-wise, I don't know what to say. Packers secondary being held together by toothpicks, duct tape, and crazy glue. That's how the secondary is being held together right now. Rollins didn't play due to injury in practice. Demarius Randall gave his best shot, but he re-aggravated his groin injury. Sam Shields hasn't played since his concussion in week two. And so you got Dimitri Goodson, who's fresh back from a four-game suspension. And then you got Ladarius Gunter playing cornerback one and two, with Micah Hyde having to play some corner with the lack of talent because of injury. So I can't criticize defense that much, because I wasn't expecting the defense to play like that just with all the injuries they had all year long. But it comes down that the offense needs to help the defense out. The defense did what it could, but they got wore out. They got tired out. They did the best that they can. They held the Cowboys to field goals. Bend it, but don't break. They held them to field goals on a few possessions in a row. Bailey field goal to put the Cowboys up 10-6. They held them to a field goal there. Third quarter by the Cowboys, hold them to a field goal. The Packers did the best that they could, but unfortunately, it wasn't enough. And the Cowboys are a good team. And the Cowboys have their own problems to worry about is, what do they do when Tony Romo's healthy? I personally think it's a no-brainer. When Tony Romo's healthy, Dak Prescott is still the starting quarterback until he struggles. You gain nothing by taking Prescott out and putting Romo in. Romo hasn't played in a meaningful snap of football since last year. He missed a lot of last year to injury, and he got hurt in the preseason. He hasn't played a down meaningful football in a while. You keep Dak Prescott in there, and you ride him until he struggles. And the way he's going right now, I have a hard time seeing he's going to struggle. So, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, and, I'm critical of Rodgers, critical of some problems the offense had. The defense had their problems, didn't get constant pressure on Prescott, and Prescott did a great job of moving around the pocket to avoid the pressure to find an open man, too. So you got to tip your hat to hit that. The next thing I want to talk about, though, some positive here, and yes, I know it's hard to say. Packers got their asses kicked 30-16. How the hell can you find positive in it? Well, here's where I got to talk about positive. First of all, Eddie Lacy gave a great effort on a bad ankle. You've got to tip your hat to Eddie Lacy. No other running back on the Packers roster. He carried the ball 17 times for just 65 yards, but you've got to tip your hat to him. He probably should not have been playing. He shouldn't have definitely been getting 17 carries, that's for sure. But the Packers had no other option. They had none. They had no option because Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy didn't bring a running back in when Starks is dealing with a knee injury. And Starks ended up having knee surgery. He didn't bring a running back in. So Lacy's the only running back on your roster. Then you got Lepkowski at fullback. And you got Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb as the other your other running back options. And the thing that's annoying about the whole thing is bring a damn running back. At least for, you know, if you I'll be keeping for the week, keeping for the week. Bring somebody in, Tom. And let's not forget, not saying he would be a good fit, DeJuan Harris, who was a Packer, knows the system, knows the blocking. He's available, from my understanding. That's who Lacy's got the starting job from because Harris got hurt and wasn't able to keep the job in the in preseason. Why not bring somebody in? Give somebody a trial. See what happens. Because you can't go into a game next. You can't go into the game Thursday, and thankfully they're bringing it back up on the practice. But you can't go into the game Thursday with a hobbled Eddie Lacy as your only running back option. And to be honest, they should bring in another running back. Bring the guy up from the practice squad and bring in another one, just in case. Because what happens if Lacy can't make it through the game? Now you're depending on a practice squad running back, one running back, who happens to be just brought up from the practice squad in order to carry the load. And that's just one decision I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand why they, why they didn't bring it back in. So that was painful to see. That was painful to watch. So the other positive, though, I talked about Lacy's effort, and then I got negative, so I apologize because this segment was supposed to be talking positives for the game yesterday. But what positive? The offensive line. You know, I didn't realize Brian Bulaga left the game with the back of me. I guess he got hurt on Rodgers' his deciding to try to do a QB sneak, which probably wasn't the best idea. I guess he got hurt on that play. And Bulaga hurt his back and didn't return. And I didn't realize Bulaga got hurt. I didn't realize Bulaga wasn't in the game anymore. And the Packers' offense didn't miss a beat in regards to pass protection. And I think that's wonderful to see. Last year, it was horrendous when you had guys hurt like Bakhtiari and Lang and sitting when you had those guys getting hurt. It was embarrassing in regards to how the offensive line played. So Don Barclay, I am a fan of Barclay, but he was awful. Josh Walker was awful. Just a lot of guys were awful. And that was one of the reasons why the offense struggled so much last year. But no, Brian Bulaga and the offensive line still continued to play well and play good football, protect Rodgers. Now, I get part of that was because the Cowboys were not sending pressure. They were dropping 7 and 8 guys into coverage to protect against Rodgers' passing game, trying to flood it so guys couldn't get open. But I just got to give credit where credit's due. I didn't miss a beat. I didn't notice them miss a beat without Bulaga. So with that said, I appreciate you all for giving me a listen. Give me a follow on Twitter at Evanwood Sports, or you can follow at Red Light Sports Network as well. Give us a follow. Give us your thoughts. Tweet us your thoughts of the game. Is the problem with Aaron Rodgers fixable? At Evanwood Sports, at Red Light Sports Network. Is the problem with Aaron Rodgers fixable? Does Mike McCarthy deserve a spot on the hot seat? At Evanwood Sports, at Red Light Sports Network. Give us a tweet. Let us know your thoughts on those questions. Can Rodgers' problem be fixed? And is Mike McCarthy on the hot seat? At Evanwood Sports and at Red Light Sports as well. So for Evanwood Harrison and the missing Troy Otradovic, we appreciate the support that you, the listeners, give us each and every night listening to the show. Please encourage others to check us out as well. And you can find us on iTunes as well, Red Light Sports Network. So you can listen to all the past shows of the Red Light Sports Network. Until tomorrow night, where Troy and I are going to probably talk some Badger football, some Chicago Cubs and Dodger and Indians Blue Jays as well. Talk some baseball, talk some college football as well. So until tomorrow night, I hope you all have a great rest of your night, and I will get back with you later. Talk to you later.